Roll back that beautiful bean footage and you'll find it.
I can't hear a thing in the game. It's like, hey, there's a friend request!
Alright, this bastard is on my... Okay, GTFO, bitch.
Alright, everybody. Here it comes. Sit back and enjoy the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the most intense in-your-face one-take, one-hitter-quitter podcast out there involving content creation, gaming, and whatever you want to call it nowadays. My name is Bobby. I'm one of the hosts of the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast, and I want to say thank you to each and every one of you guys and gals, or whatever you identify yourself as, for listening to the podcast on whatever platform it is on, whether it be Anchor, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, whatever. And if you guys are following us on, Twitter. Thank you guys very much. And I hope you guys are enjoying this podcast that we're doing it. And I have the pleasure once again to bring on my co-host, the Beast from Bruges, my homie, my good buddy, Joachim Blaze. How you doing, buddy?
Oh my God, that introduction, the breath.
This. I know, did you like that?
And there's another word I always wanted to throw out on the interweb. Kudos to you.
That's swell.
That is swell. That was the other day. Anyway, kudos to you. Everybody, welcome. Thanks for all the listens. Like me and Bobby, every day we check our stats and we're like amazed by the amount of people that are listening to our podcast. I want to thank each and every one of you. I want to thank everybody who's spreading the word. We're really, really grateful. We've had some amazing episodes that already came by. And sometimes, you know, you have these gems on the interweb that are not always discovered, but that are actually amazing people.
The diamonds and one of these, the rough.
Yeah. Like Bobby, for example, you know, Junkhead. Not discovered on Twitch yet, but he's a diamond, guys. He's a diamond. If you ever have time, go and check out his... His Twitch, what is it? Junkhead, 1,000,035. What is your Twitch again?
We're not here about me, though. It's 1324.
But come on, man. I'm accepting. Let me do my introduction.
I'm sorry.
Twitch.tv, Junkhead, 1... What was it again?
1324.
Anyways, another gem on the interweb, on Twitch Mania.
A sweet spirit.
A really good-hearted guy, an amazing friend of mine, a dude that I've loved with and at and whatever so many times. There's a compilation of his years on Twitch somewhere on the YouTube that one of his mods made. It's I think 10 or 12 minutes long. Half of the time he's falling on his face or sleeping in his bed in front of his stream. It's making me laugh so much. If I have a bad day, I go and watch it and I'm like, oh my God, this is so funny. But anyways, I want to introduce you all, if you don't know him yet, to my buddy Ryan. And he's known on Twitch as Farley1337. Farley, welcome in our podcast, man. That was my longest introduction ever, by the way.
Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction, Joachim and Bobby. It is an honor to be here today.
No, the honor is
gentlemen.
Ours. I call you the Mad Canuck.
Yeah. Wait. Do an introduction of Farley, please.
The most entertaining streamer on Twitch, north of the border, putting Canada on the map, the Mad Canuck, our good buddy Farley.
Hey-o! 1337. How's it going, gentlemen?
There we go.
There we go. That were the introductions.
Before Farley, we do it, you guys, we're going to do a podcast cheers. Here we go. Cheers.
Yeah, I got my beer gentlemen. In my hand. Cheers to everybody.
Cheers.
Some good Belgian beer.
Nobody we are all over that. 21. I promise you guys that. So
it's 19.
Yeah, I'm pretty. I'm pretty and sure Farley's you know. Over 21, and I'm pretty sure you are, Bobby.
And you know what else? Because we don't have a TOS in this podcast, I might or might not be wearing shorts. That's right.
I'm not wearing socks.
Okay, saying. Well, you know what? No one's judging. But this isn't about us. This is about our good buddy Farley. So
yes,
Farley.
Yes.
Tell us how and when did you get into gaming?
Let's talk about the name, the gamer tag.
Farley. How did you come up with Farley? Seven. Yeah. Okay, I'll try to elaborate this. Have any of you all seen the movie Hackers from 1995? Angelina Jolie. I forget the other guy's name.
Cool Breeze or something like that.
Zero Cool. Yeah, yeah. But back in the day, they used to say something like Elite 1337. You're Elite. Well, my friends back in the day when I got into high school, they thought, hell, I was the class clown. I looked like Chris Farley. So basically, when I created my gamer tag, I just threw both of those, like the Farley and the 1337, together. And just
you always remind me of him. Sorry to interrupt you, but remind me of Farley. You even dance the same way, man.
Let me tell you, he was a true inspiration to me. A man gone too soon. A comedic legend. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like the SNL back in the days. It was, you know, Adam Sandler, him, David Spade, all those guys. You know, I looked to them for kind of like my avenues of like laughter, even beforehand, you know. Or like, what's that? My name is Matt Foley, and I am a motivational speaker, and you'll have plenty of time to be rolling your doobies when you're living in a van down by the river.
Oh God! Here we go. We can do about four. Oh my God.
So yeah, that's basically where I got the gamer tag, to slap those two together with one of my favorite movies and one of my favorite comedians, kind of. And it just kind of stuck, and I went with it. Now, you said like an introduction to, I think Joaquin was asking me an introduction to like when I got into gaming.
Just tell us your story. Like, we were going to sit back now and you start talking.
Okay, here we go.
Like, maybe you started
here.
Yeah.
You get to talk.
Okay.
Maybe you were in diapers and your dad was playing and, you know, you were sitting in the couch and like, what the fuck is this dude doing? You know?
My story.
Just go ahead, man.
Okay. So I was born in 1983. I'm 37.
Likes long walks on the beach and a good stiff lager.
In 1986, I was diagnosed with leukemia, cancer, and I spent a lot of my time in the hospital. And I could remember when I was about 7 or 8 years old, my brother had brought over to the London, Ontario hospital a Commodore 64, and basically, it had this game. He only had one game, and it was Summer Olympics. Or no, Summer Games. And basically, it had...
I played that game, by the way, Farley.
It had pole vault, platform diving, sprinting, gymnastics, freestyle swimming, skeet shooting, and rowing. And basically, I remember being young, and I had a lot of time where I wasn't with my mom and dad. They couldn't really be there a lot in London. They had to, you know, had a lot of lonely nights. So when my brother brought me that was my first introduction to actual gaming, was on a Commodore 64. And
just a question. The Commodore, did you have the one with like the big spinning wheels with the tape on that you had to like change? Or the floppy disk, or with the cassette?
No,
the cassette.
No, floppy disk. It was the big floppy.
Yeah, they have
floppy
medication nowadays for that, to fix those floppy disks to make them hard again.
I had all three of them, so that's why I'm asking, you know, because I know the struggles of those other mechanisms. And the floppy disk was like the invention of the CD back then, you know. It was like, wow, a floppy disk. If you see a floppy disk now, you're like, what can I do with this, you know?
You know, back in the day, like when you used to have to do like file transfers, do you remember the miniature versions of those? The 3.5s, I think they were called.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you used to have like 6 or 7 of them to fit one like program on whatever you needed. You'd have to have like 6, 7 of those little floppies. I remember those days.
Kids today would struggle.
But it was like, Commodore. What the heck is this? Yeah, but it was Commodore, and then it was ColecoVision.
Yeah, ColecoVision.
I remember.
Oh,
yeah.
ColecoVision. I was gonna go pro in the ColecoVision, you know, circuit, but I was too old.
And if I remember correctly, Coleco had like Asteroids and like different games on it that were pretty good. My mom and dad, after I got out of the hospital, I went into remission from leukemia. I beat leukemia's butt. I had radiation treatment, chemotherapy treatment, bone marrow transplants, you name it, from like pretty much the age of 3 till I was about roughly 7 or 8. And so when I got out of the hospital, they surprised me with a little gift of the Coleco. So it was kind of like, felt like, oh my God, you know, I had the Commodore, but you know, now I got the Coleco. Back in the day, that's what it was like. And then you see that kind of with gaming now, like there's a console that, oh, something better's coming out. Oh, something better. Like, it's just over the years, it's kind of like a trend.
Just for everyone out there, you're still in remission?
Yeah,
you have completely.
Oh yeah, I've completely
fucking bent cancer over.
Yeah,
and made it
your like
fucking
I said,
bitch.
I was 7 or 8, and I'm 37 now. When I beat cancer, I was 7 or 8. So
damn,
yeah,
that's
in remission.
That's a really hard start of life if you look at it.
Yeah,
actually,
I didn't get that much of a youth, so like I was behind in a lot of my schooling, and I had to catch up on a lot of that stuff. But in hindsight, I think that made me stronger of a man. So it kind of pushed me forward the guy I am now, you know, and
anybody knows that if you are a friend of Farley's, you're a friend of Farley's.
Yeah.
He gives a shit, you know, and now that I kind of learned that now we know why. And, you know, it's just like
I always think your life's precious. Treat people the way you want to be treated in life, man. You know what I mean? You only got one shot at life, right? So why sit there and be mean, be whatever? Just be a kind soul, man, and people generally treat you the way you want to be treated, and vice versa.
Fucking cheers, boys.
Cheers, boys. So, yeah, that's where I basically started with all my gaming. And then, of course, the Coleco led to NES, SNES, the Sega Saturn, Sega CD, Dreamcast, GameCube, you name, like N64, all those consoles, PS1, PS2, PS3. But then I fell off the console game after that. I stopped basically playing consoles altogether after the PS3. And I got into computers around 1998, 99. And I remember because the first game I had, I believe, was on the computer was an NHL 98. Because I'm a Canuck and we like our hockey.
I'm not a Canuck, but I like hockey. I used to play all the time. But
oh, yeah. And that's generally like how I started like getting in doing that with computers. And what I found was, you know, by 98, 99, I was starting my high school, you know what I mean? I was in high school, young little guy, naive, so I got through grade 9 and 10. Well, old grade 10, Farley here, started getting cocky at the world, we'll say, and I got myself expelled from high school. But during that time when I got expelled, I learned a lot more about computers. I managed to take my computer apart, scatter the parts around, put it back together. I found work to see how it was to work in a working atmosphere. And then about a year later, I went back and got my high school, did what I had to do in life. But I counted it as like a lesson learned again.
Well, everyone's going to want to know. It's much like anything, like when you take like a engine apart. Okay, yeah. when you took your computer apart, did you have any extra parts? And if you did, did it run better?
I made sure that I'm like, I don't want any extra parts. You make sure you take everything and you put it in the way it was. I actually remember sitting there with like a piece of paper and kind of like writing a diagram of every piece I took out so I could remember where it actually went back in.
Well, it's like I remember like in high school you did like the shop thing where you took like a lawnmower engine apart and then you always had like that extra piece left over. But you didn't know where it went, and the thing ran better. I was like, what happened here? I'm missing this thing, you know? It's a Johnson rod or the Canuter valve, you know? One of those two.
Yeah, and after I started building computers and started doing that, I started developing a taste for, like, video gaming. And I never streamed back then, even though, like, when I started getting into, like, high school, we'll say grade 11 and 12, that was when, like, Counter-Strike 1.5 and like 1 point, like it went from, actually I played Counter-Strike from 1.3 and on, but it went like through that cycle. And I remember I would go to I live in Windsor, Ontario, here in Canada. And I would go to LAN parties at the local college, and me and a group of my buddies would go there, and the tournaments would be Counter-Strike. And I can tell you now, I remember winning a couple tournaments with my buddies where we'd win computer cases and all sorts of different things, like fans, hard drives, graphics cards. And we'd go there and, for a little, I wasn't the greatest. I always tell people, you know, when you're going to watch me or I'm going to play a game, I'm not good. I always say, you know, you have bronze, silver, gold. If there was a tinfoil class in video gaming, that would be me.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah. You know, I'm more here for the comedic and fun times.
Tell me, was there a time that you talked, like, during these wins, was there any, like, shit-talking that, you know, on LAN?
Immense. And especially in a LAN setting, it's entirely different than being over a microphone.
Farley on LAN. I can only imagine.
And when you win... And when we won, we're like, fuck yeah! And we're like screaming from the best, sorry. And we're like screaming, and we're jumping up in the air, and these guys are just looking like, fuck, and they're like giving us dirty looks.
I want to know, did you adhere to the rules in Canadonia, as I call it? If you said anything in English, did you say it in French too, or is it, did you curse?
I'll have you know that in certain areas, the French, where I'm from, 99% or 90% speak English. French is taught to you at a young age. I just never grasped or understood it that well. And
I wasn't sure if you curse somebody out in French and then
English. I know a couple words in French. Like, you know, if I was out in Quebec, I would know how to ask for, you know, if I had to go to the toilet, I'd be like, la toilette. If I was drinking, tabernacle. You know, and you know what's confusing? A lot of people are like, my buddy used to always say a joke because he'd always try to get people with something because he spoke French. He'd be like, le fuck. I'm like, what are you talking about? Le fuck. He's like, baby seal. I don't know. There's different things, but I always wish I learned French. I just
le foc, you would say if you say baby seals. I speak French since I'm five.
I'm gonna ask you. You know, yo, Joaquim, how many languages do you speak?
Fluently four.
16.
I have a big notion of Serbo-Croatian, and lately I've been dipping into Portuguese. So yeah.
That's amazing, brother. But yeah, so I started doing...
It's just curiosity. Like, when people are talking another language, I'm like, they're talking about me. I need to know what they're saying.
I feel like that sometimes. But yeah, so it was LAN parties and stuff like that. And then, you know, for my life, I worked in various, after high school, factories and temp agencies and... you know, Ford Motor Company, Chrysler Automotive. There's a whole bunch of other companies I can name, but basically quality control, quality assurance. And then I got, Then I got basically involved in security in my life in about, I think it was 2007. And that's when, like, you know, I realized, hey, it's pretty good work. It's consistent. It does me well. That's kind of like me, you know what I mean? Like, I love what I do. I cherish my work values and my work ethic are strong. I find that, you know, you got to have a good work ethic in life. I'll do a little fast forward here, but I think it was when I was 30, 31, I moved out of my parents' house. Yeah, 30, 31, I finally moved out of my parents' house. And I moved in with my buddy Dropkick. And I remember I'm sitting after I moved in, I'm sitting in my room. I get my old computer set up. It had like a 660 or whatever graphics card in it with an FX whatever. I forget what I had in the bad boy, but it wasn't the best, but it was good enough for something. And I hear my buddy downstairs as I'm sitting there. He's like, Farley, you got to see this game. H1Z1, finally. You gotta see this game, H1. I'm like, all right. So I check it out, and I start noticing, you know, a lot of people were in these lobbies at first when that game first started. And I started seeing names in that lobby, like Twitch, like TTV this, TTV that. And I'm like, so I yelled down to my buddy, I'm like, what's TTV, bro? What's TTV? He's like, You nub, that's not Twitch TV, bro. So I'm like, what? And I started realizing and looking into what people are doing on there, just having fun, playing video games, being themselves, and generally just being there for people who might want that avenue of laughter. And that's kind of something I'm like, wait a minute. I'm a funny guy. My buddies think I'm a funny dude. Maybe I can do this too. Maybe I can come out here and try my darndest to be a funny guy. Like, my goal and my intention when I started it all was never, ever, ever anything for gain. All about being here for people who might be suffering from depression. They might need a good laugh or a good place to get away, a good space. And that's kind of like what I like to do. I kind of like to bring laughter, singing, dancing, acting a little bit of fool. Yes, having a little bit of drinks, but you know, that's
falling asleep on your
falling
bed.
Falling asleep on my bed, you know, raising my shirt up and rubbing my belly. You know, it's stuff like that.
All Farley stuff.
And it, I don't know, like I back in the day when I first started finding streamers and stuff, I stumbled upon a gentleman by the name of CDN the Third. He was in one of my games that I was playing, and there was this guy, and like, I mean, this nasty guy being very racial in the lobby. And CDN the Third has a tendency of dealing with those people in an orderly fashion with a bow and arrow. And before my eyes, he took this bow and arrow out, plop, like shot him, I think, once in that dome, killed the dude with the bow and arrow. And then all of a sudden, I just was like, I just started laughing. And he looked over, he turned to me, plop, shot me too. I didn't say anything, but he shot me too. And I see his name pop up. I searched it on Twitch. And I started noticing other people that were inside his channel on Twitch looking for games, and I met a man by the name of Bacon Me Now, and Bacon Me Now had a squad called the Bacon Squad, and basically this man took me under his wing, showed me the ropes, was a very nice guy, would always play games with a whole bunch of people, and I got to meet some generally nice people from that, and that man helped me immensely, like, you know, donation-wise, helping me with my stream. You know, the computer I'm on now was all because of that man. And I never knew when I started streaming that all this attention would come in and people would be coming in. And, you know, I never expected that. I was only expecting to be like a two viewer once in a while, Andy, that turned into a little once in a blue moon. You know, I get those spikes. But I've never been the guy to look at viewership. Like, I don't know if it, like I've always just, like I said, it's always been for me a fun. Like, am I making you laugh? Are you having a good time while being here? That's what it's all about. And that's generally
so. So your main goal on streaming is actually just having fun yourself and sharing your passion for gaming and fun with other people and just having laughs and jokes, and everybody that comes in your chat is kind of your buddy and you welcome them in, and you have beers with them or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I want you to feel like I'm next to you. I want you to feel like I'm that good guy who you could sit there, shoot the crap with, have a good time, and that's generally me, you know what I mean? And I never expected to even like, you know, before when I started streaming, there was no affiliate, it was just partner. And then when I, like, all of a sudden those affiliate first waves came out, and all of a sudden I got it, I was like, whoa, why are you giving the old Farley this? Like, you know, and I just kind of went with it.
They're just going to give it to you because it's going to get ugly if they don't.
Yeah. And I don't know. That's my thing. I just want to be a nice guy to people. I want people to generally have a great experience. And, like, you know, you've got those people. You've got classifications on Twitch. You got the people who are going to be hardcore, hard to the paint, experts at their craft and gaming. Then you're going to have, like, you know, those are the pros and esports type of people. Then you're going to have your semi-entertainers, like, you know what I mean, personas, whatnot. Then you're going to have those general people who are just out there doing them on a daily basis. There's so many people on Twitch with such lower viewerships that are such amazing people that, you know what I mean? If people just were to search down the bottom of that list, you'd be surprised who you'd find.
And I've said it a countless amounts of time, is that I don't look at streaming or creating content because that's what Blaze and I, we agreed that we weren't going to call ourselves streamers. We're going to call ourselves content creators now.
Yes, I like that. I like that, yeah.
Is that a follow is free. And you know what's free? Good, wholesome entertainment. If you're having a fucking bad day, you're in a shitty spot in your life, and if I could fucking make you smile, yes, I've done my job. And with that in mind, you guys, anybody out there that's listening to this, if you guys are in a dark place right now, please reach out and reach out to somebody. And as a friend, you guys be there for them. And if you yes, don't feel like you can talk to somebody, please, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, 1-800-273-8255. You guys call that number. No one's going to judge you. Because sometimes a lot of the times, someone just wants to talk and someone just wants to listen, and that's what they're there for. You guys, so once again,
reach out to a friend. Who's stepping on his keyboard?
sorry. I'm glad. Yes. Like, I appreciate you talking about the awareness and the suicide hotline. I also want to add at this time, if you're out in Canada and you're happening to take in a listen here, you can also call the Crisis Service Canada line at 1-833-456-4566. Somebody's always there to listen to you, talk you through your problems, show you where you need to go, all your local spots that might be able to help you, counselors, be it whatever. Suicide touches me close to home, and I'm gonna tread on this a little softly and kind of try to bring the mood up after I speak about it. But it was I started my streaming career in 2015. Okay, and it was around 2016 into 2017. I did security for a big, huge building out here. It's like a 15-story building. And I get an alarm one day. It was on the third floor of the parking garage, which is quite the distance up. And the first thing I see when I open the door, pair of rusty shoes. Then I look forward and there's a ledge that leads into a huge air duct that drops all the way down those three floors. And there's this young kid, not even 22 years old. And I walked up to him. I said my name. I said, my name's Ryan. They call me Farley. How can I help you today, buddy? You know, you look a little rough. All I'm going to tell you is buddy turned to me, said sorry, and took the dive. And, since that day, I try to tell people that there's always somebody there that you can talk to. You don't have to go down those avenues. So I kind of appreciate you bringing the awareness to the suicide awareness thing. It means a lot, brother.
Especially from the veteran community, and I've said it, you guys, it's not embarrassing to reach out and talk to somebody.
Because
in a sense, and I've said it before, it's a long-term solution for a short-term problem.
Yeah, and I'll be honest to everybody out here listening. I was a hard rock, okay? I grew up with that, like, you know, my dad instilling a lot of, like, hardcore stuff with me. Like, you know, be a man. And when I witnessed that, I broke down. I didn't know what to do. I dipped into a bottle, and I took the wrong approach. But about a month into that, I started realizing that I have a problem. So to be the man approach in my eyes was to admit that I had that issue and I needed to resolve it. So I ended up seeing psychologist helping me cope with my issues. And within a year, my PTSD that I was diagnosed with was pretty much level. Everything was good. And I, you know what I mean? And I implore people, you got to talk to somebody, you know what I mean? It doesn't hurt you. You might not have somebody, but that's why those crisis lines and the suicide hotlines are existent, to help those who might not have somebody to talk to. So, you know,
take that time.
Yeah. You never know.
I can only say that I haven't ever gone too deep in all of that, but I've had some childhood stuff happen to me too. And I've had some hard times with my divorce and everything, when I was in my heydays on Twitch. And every time I was going deep down, right? I was really deep down and I had, you know, dark thoughts. But there was always this moment I said to myself, Joachim, you only have one fucking life. Only one life.
It's true.
Do you really want to end it now? That's what I always said to myself. And that's every time with pulls me back up. no, I'm not gonna end it now. This is not how I want to be remembered. I want to, you know, I want to go out blazing at some point. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to say I've lived my life. I've done what I needed to do in my life. I have been a good man. And
lived,
you know,
we live well.
But like when I get to my deepest and darkest, I always pull myself back together and say, like, you have one fucking life, dude.
It's true.
And
yeah.
And it's in my eyes, I'm sorry to say, and I don't mean it bad, but you hurt so many people around you doing that. You're gone at that point, it's, you know, and all true. The people around you are hurt, and you know.
Yeah. So what this taught me, though, is the one true value of life is that life is precious. You never take life for granted, and that's what it taught me. You know what I mean? Like, life can flash in front of you in a blink of an eye. You know what I mean? You never know what's gonna happen, but you just keep a positive head and remember that life is precious. You know what I mean? At that point in time, and I've seen that happen. It all came to fruition to me that, like, hey, man. Life's too short. Keep your life. Do what you know. Stay positive, and you know that's what it was with me. I think, like I said a lot before, this was it's life lessons in life. It taught me and made me a little stronger.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you guys, I didn't.
Yeah, I'm a bit quiet from that. I'm sorry because you know.
I didn't want it to go down a dark like this. You know,
oh no, it's okay.
I did want to share with people. Enjoy every moment in your life, and always remember to make the best out of any situation, whatever situation you're in. Try to look at everything as positive as possible. Surround yourself with positive people. You have one life, guys, and enjoy it. You know, just make the best out of it. And sometimes I'm like to myself, I'm like mad and I'm like, Joachim, how long have you not called your dad or mom? Call them right now and tell them you love them. And sometimes they know me. I call them and I'm like, mom, dad, you know I love you, right? You know I appreciate what you've done your whole life for me. And they go like, yeah, you don't need to tell us. I'm like, I have to tell you because I want you to know. And I even do that with friends sometimes. Like I call them and I'm like, dude, do you remember that time? I love you for that, you know, like in a hashtag no home away, like I always say, but appreciate what people do around you and tell them sometimes when they're doing good. Like I, besides from Twitch, I have a management position and I started a new job like 8 months, no, just around the COVID period. That's like February, something like that. And like when I came into my team, I walked up to one of the girls working under me and I told her, you're doing a good job. And she looked at me in surprise and she was like, what? I'm like, you're doing a good job. She's like, are you kidding me? I'm like, no. She's like, nobody ever told me that. Like everybody's always talking about the negativity. And I'm like, no, with me, you'll know when you're doing good and you'll know when you're doing bad. I'm just going to tell you how it is. And if you do good, I'll come and tell you. If you do bad, I'll come and tell you. And that's just the way I work also in real life, you know? And a lot of people don't appreciate that sometimes, I feel, but that's just the way I roll. And you know, or you accept it or you don't, but I'd rather tell you straight up your face the truth than lie to your face, you know? Because I would get your feelings hurt. Oh, my God.
I like that. That's like the no sugar coat. And I'd rather a person give me constructive criticism rather than bullcrap me or bullshit me. You know what I mean? Like that's straight facts. So I can respect that. I can respect that easily with you.
That's why I like Bobby. He always calls me diva. Yeah.
I just bring it back like full circle. What Father was saying is that as content creators, it's our job to be like there. Like you say, if you want to watch excellent gameplay, you go watch the people like Cloaksy, like Lupo. If you want free entertainment, you come to like Farley's stream. Because my job is to make you laugh. In Blaze's stream, you know, our job is to make you laugh and be entertainment. Wow, I need to have another shot, drink a beer on that one. Hold on, it's to be entertaining, and that's what we like. As soon as we me and Blaze were talking about this, and he said Farley, and I was like, 100%. Because I remember you from the WBG days.
Yes,
and
me too,
the fucking entertainment factor. And I'm like, this fucking guy.
It was no holds barred back then. I didn't. I just let loose. And
what I like about your streams, for example, and that's what I want to say, also for people out there that don't have a lot of viewers, your stream doesn't change any bit if you have zero viewers or if you have 1,000 viewers. You exactly. are just there. You're always talking to people, even if there's no people or if there's 100 people, you know, which yeah. also happens. You're there. You're just you. You're entertaining. You're doing your thing. You're having fun. You're talking to your chat. You're trying always to read your chat and appreciate people that are there.
Thank you. Not just
and
read
think,
his chat. Sing to his chat. I think
you know, well, you know.
That Farley brings to the table because like you could join Farley's stream. And he maybe has Nightbot and me in there. And guess what? He's singing. And here's a song. He's like, hold on, you know? And he starts singing. And I'm like, oh, my God. This is the this is why.
People give us a small taste of something. Ooh. Just a 15, 20 second.
The resub?
Just
the
what? One second. Something popping up in your head. Come on. Let's do this.
Okay.
You guys ready at home?
I gotta put a song on if I do this. Give me a sec.
Yeah, do it.
I have to hear it in the background. This one's.
This one goes out to that lady, that lady in Saskatoon that wouldn't give him the time of day.
Yeah. 1 second, I gotta get that rasp. Come on, here we go. On a lonesome night, east of Omaha, you can listen to the engine rolling out as one long song. Can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do when you're riding 16 hours and there's nothing much to do. You don't feel much like riding, you just wish the trip was through. Not some of my best work, you know, a little bit more BS later, but that's just a general.
I'm not
going to
lie. For a second there, I thought Bob Seger was on the other end.
You got to be jealous of that raspy voice sometimes, right?
When I quit smoking, I was like, I remember like it was like maybe 1 month or 2 months in after quitting smoking cigarettes. And I tried to start singing at first, and I was like, no, the rasp.
How long have you been a non-smoker?
About a year and 3 months.
Dude, same here, about a year.
I will admit, there's been times when I drank hardcore.
There's something else also going on, you know? You're doing the Canadian thing, right? You know?
Smoking.
So you're still smoking, kind of, you know?
Hey. Well, we're not judging. We're talking.
Cigarettes are bad.
I
got to admit, sometimes I smoke also. So you know.
You know, I'm Canadian. I like the ganj. You know, that's just the way I am. But yeah, you know. To kind of go back
a little bit. April 20th is a good month for you guys. Is what you're saying?
April's a great month for me because not only is it 420, it's the month of my birthday.
So you're kind of born for this stuff.
Yeah, April 13th.
All right, so anyway, let's bring it back. So
we're going to bring it back because I remember I was talking about like 2015 and the 2016. Then I think it was like 2016, 2017 when Bacon Squad disbanded, and I was looking for an organization, and a gentleman by the name of Bobby Ham sent me a message and gave me an extended to go into World Best Gaming, and that's where, like, you know, we met you and Joaquim. I knew you before that. Bobby, we joined that, and it was my first organization that I ever joined or ever been a part of, and it gave me a lot of attention. I had a lot of people coming by that I normally never seen, and it was a good avenue, you know, to get my name out there. It felt good for a while. I liked it, you know. It was different because I normally never knew about anything like that. It was my first time, like, you know, geez, I didn't make a Twitter account until 2016. Like, you know what I mean? So like this whole social media and everything kind of took me off kilter a little bit. Like it took me off. It was weird. It was really weird for me to try to adapt to all that, but to see what everyone was doing, it was great. You know, I loved those days. It was fun times. I really enjoy making people laugh. I had great times with a lot of people in WBG. And then after WBG and I decided to leave, joined another organization, MDF, which
is do you want to say why you left? Or because I honestly myself don't know, or do you not want to go
just
into
had,
that?
I just had personal reasons because at the time I wanted to see if I can do good by myself and not have a backing and just be me.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone shares that same sentiment, because for you guys that don't know, it's like we were all three of us were in WBG at the same time, and WBG, ironically, was built around H1Z1, which apparently this podcast is built around H1Z1. You know,
that's just a coincidence. That's just a coincidence.
Ironic. But the thing you guys don't understand is that WBG went from a competitive esports to a content creation team that was someone was online from WBG 24/7.
Yeah.
Nonstop. So you did get a lot of people coming around, and everyone supported everybody. And then, I kind of understand why Farley left too. It's like there's a point in time when you're like, you know what? I want to do this. I got to do this.
You know? I wanted to see, like, because, like, even before I went to WBG, I had created a good follow base of my own on my own. And I said, you know, wait a minute. Maybe I could do that again. I don't have to conform to anything. I just do me, be me naturally. And ultimately, out of everything, no matter what organization I've joined, you know, and I have to be serious here, I find that when I'm Lone Ranger and I'm by myself, solo, dolo, doing my own streams and doing my own thing.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Bobby, from the Fraggin' and Laggin' podcast.
Hold on a minute. Why is it always you doing the intro? It's my time now. Guys, if you ever wondered what peripherals we're using while we're doing this podcast, while we're gaming, while we're having fun, while we're actually fragging, we're using XtraFi. If you want to check them out, it's XtraFi.com. If you want to check a local store near you or an online store, XtraFi.com/resellers. Go and check it out. I gotta say, I've been using the super lightweight mouse for a year now. It's amazing. It improved my aim and it improved my gaming. And I had them send over some stuff to Bobby to test out. What did you think about it, Bobby?
I'm gonna tell you, I've been using the one specific mouse for like 2 years. And the fine people at XtraFi sent me this awesome RGB mouse, the M4. And it's super lightweight. It took me like a little bit to get used to it. And I'm never going to use anything else. I mean, it's so simple to change my DPI. The polling on it is simple. And not only that, I got some H1 Ninjas in Pajamas inspired headphones in the mail today. And I love them 100%. So, you guys.
Yeah, guys, as you can hear, headsets, keyboards, mice, mouse pads, accessories.
Let me ask you this.
What
are you? I noticed that you said you wanted a mouse bungee for Christmas this year. But guess what? XtraFi's got you covered. 100%.
Oh, awesome, man.
You guys go to XtraFi.com or XtraFi.com/resellers. They sell all over the world. Asia, NA, Europe, they got you covered. So you guys, check it out. Tell them the guys from the Frag and Laggin podcast, send them your way. And just keep in mind, if you guys are out there, you better be fragging. Because if not,
you're probably not using XtraFi gear.
But if you're going to want these sponsors, you're going to want people showcasing these sponsorships, it's going to take to get a little give and take. You know what I mean? Like, it has to. And you know, that's just the way.
I totally understand. And I can also understand that, and I don't mean it in a denigrating way or in a bad way or anything. Degrading way? Yeah, degrading. That's it. If you're a streamer with 5 average viewers or 10 average viewers, why would you be important in promoting a big, huge-ass brand that has, you know, millions of people promoting them by matter of speaking and big soccer players or big hockey players or whatever promoting them? why would they like want to sponsor you? Like, because I always hear people like, oh, I'm gonna get a sponsor and I want to get this and this brand, and I'm like, don't reach out to the big guys, reach out to the middle brands or the brands that are just starting and building something, you know, reach out to them. That's just a tip from me to everybody who's listening right now and who's into streaming. Don't go for the highest, go for a brand that you think is good, that has a good product, but it doesn't need to be the big name out there. You know, I don't want to throw any names out there, but just go for something, you know, grow with something. And a good example of that is, I'm sorry to mention a name, but it's my still personal sponsor, AK Racing and Arazi. It's the same company. I caught their eye and I wrote to them when I was a smaller streamer with 20 average viewers. They were a small company starting out. They weren't known in the streamer world. You know, they didn't. I was one their first or second streamer they started sponsoring, and I've always been with them, and we grew together at some point. You know, I was getting big. They were suddenly getting big in the esports world and in the gaming world, and everybody was talking about their products, and suddenly everybody's like, damn, Blaze, you're sponsored by them. I was like, oh man, I've been sponsored with them since 2015, you know? But like, don't aim for the highest. And you also have to understand, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but if you have two viewers, why would you be interested for a brand, you know?
It's a numbers game, really. I think it's just a whole numbers game, because even if you have a substantial amount of small people with a small viewer base and those people are constantly tweeting, it's still going to generate an attention value. I don't know what I never really understood certain variables, but I understand totally what you're saying and it makes absolute sense.
Well, like if you're in between brackets, smaller brand or a brand that wants to get out there.
Oh, yeah.
I would get 100 streamers that are not too big and just send them one mouse, for example, you know, if I have mouses, and those hundreds will promote to maybe 10, 20 or 50, and you know, it multiplies. And in the end, what was my budget? 100 mouses that probably didn't cost me that much when I had them made in China. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and they draw an attention to them.
And you draw attention. So that's when you're a smaller brand, in my opinion, is a good marketing strategic,
kind of
you know?
And that's kind of another reason why I kind of got out of all the organization dealio, because it just sounded like a politics type of a game situation. And I just, I'm like, you know what, Farley? You're just a better dude on your own, man. Like, just a better guy on your own.
So you left WBG.
Yeah.
What happened after?
Me and along with a couple other people, Papa Bear and a gentleman named Martin left. We formed a group called MDF Esports that you two fine gentlemen were part of. And, you know, for a while, that was a good, decent thing. And the reason I joined that one was under the premise of just being there for a friend. You know what I mean? Just to kind of bring attention to a friend who was starting up his brand. And, you know, it was a good thing. And like I said, I just felt like, you know, maybe I needed to spend more, after I did that for a while, spend more time with family. And I wanted to, again, concentrate on my own things and do a lone stream. You know what I mean? Like no brand. Just being me, because in naturality, that's how I started. I didn't have nothing. I started with no camera, for crying out loud. If I could start as a no camera Andy and get a bunch of these people and a different bunch of people coming in, generating good laughs, and I get a couple followers, I don't need that. You know what I mean? And that's what I guess I needed to join organizations to figure that out for myself. So that's my personal opinion about it. Others might be different.
Well, the thing is, I think sometimes you're also drawn to certain organizations by them saying like, oh, we got this and this and this sponsor and this, and we have this streamer in our team. And, you know, it's all appealing, but it's not always that appealing, you know? So the only tip I can give everybody, if you ever join an org, before joining the org, talk to some people who are in it, who are not everybody that's in it, but people who were in it and are not anymore in it, and do some research about York, you know, like, just don't just join like that, because it hasn't happened to me, but it can always, you know, harm your own brand, you know, your name, by joining a certain org that in the end maybe has a bad name or gets a bad name because of certain things, you know. So always be smart about what you do.
And then, you know, that's what I said. But, you know, to go back, like, to try to generate a little bit of talk about, like, H1, you know, I know this seems to circle a little bit around that game, but, like, I got to tell
good
people.
Circle. It's a good circle.
That game
before
alone,
Before it got political, yes, was a great game.
Yeah, that game alone started me where I was. I got to meet some great, great, great individuals because of that game. One of them by the name of Ninja Chris 77. You all may remember him as the dude who would fly his cop car or fly vehicles around. He'd be making farting noises, trying to screw with you. And the friendship alone that I generated
with
him.
He killed me once. I remember that.
I can remember, like, when I first moved in with another buddy after I moved out of the first apartment I was in. I moved in with another buddy, and I was playing H1, and I was, like, you know, I was inside the church, and it's been that long.
The one by Strip Mall by iPhone?
No, it was the one near Lone Pine. The church near Lone Pine. What was that that town called that was near Lone Pine in the old Z1? But I was in that church. I was in that church. Cranberry? Daisyberry? Something berry?
Cranberry.
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 Yeah, I was in that church, and I'm talking to my buddy, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, hey, I hear Ninja Chris's farts. And he pulls right into the church, and I'm like, that's my buddy Ninja. Pop! Just runs me over. Clear in front of my friend. First introduction of Ninja Chris to my buddy. Just runs me the fuck over in the middle of the church. And it was at that point in time, I knew our friendship was gold.
It was born on that day.
If you want to become friends with Farley, just drive over him and you'll be his best buddy.
And it was just general fun times. And, you know, that man's been there a lot for me. A lot of my stuff for my stream he helps me out with. But as well, I got to meet other great people because of H1. Another Canadian legend, and I don't know if any of you know him, is my brother Dickie Greenleaf. That man... some funny times and produced some of the greatest H1Z1 content. Cabs are here. The man would come and pick you up anywhere you were on the map, drive you to wherever you had to go, would pick up random people, act like a cab service. The dude was a legend, you know what I mean? And yet again...
I'm just laughing at the name. Dickie? Hi, Dickie Greenleaf. How you doing? Here's my card.
Hey, Dickie Greenleaf here. He used to have these games where we'd meet up and be like, if we were going to meet up with each other, it'd be like, Goomba, Goomba. And that's what we'd say in the game if we're going to meet up. This was before they had nameplates. This was before even, I think, crosshairs even existed in the freaking game. Like, and we'd all meet up and we'd have fun times. And it was those times, like, you know, meeting up in H1. And a lot of people, if they played H1, can remember their interaction, if they ever had one, with the Red Army. Has anyone ever interacted with the Red Army in H1?
Nope.
Negative Ghost Rider.
My God. Emo QQ was a... I don't know where that gentleman was from, but he was a big streamer either from Japan or China. I'm not too sure. But every time that guy joined the lobby, there would be like 50 to 60 red shirts alongside him, and they would just take over towns. And I remember, like, there'd be people like Angry Pug, Grimms, OPSCT, and these people would just, their main thing, they would go out there and they would fight the whole Red Army, Emo QQ and his whole entire crew, and they would take it out. And I remember one day after watching that on their streams and seeing this Red Army, I'm in a game and all of a sudden I'm in Pleasant Valley and up the damn main street,
rest
hundreds
in peace,
of
PV.
Red shirts.
Rest in peace, PV.
Rest in peace, Pleasant Valley. Up the main street, hundreds of freaking red shirts. And at this time in H1, you had your whole clothing inventory on your left-hand side. You could turn into any clothing you had in your inventory. So I threw on the red shirt. I started running behind them. Blah, 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 started acting like I was with them. It's stuff like that that I wish still existed. Like, you know what I mean? And I don't know, that game, just because of stuff like that, moments like that, that's why it holds a place. And I'll always, even with the games in the state it's in now, you'll always find me on there once in a blue moon.
Yeah, I actually, like, not so long ago, I saw you play it, and there were, like, what, 8 players or something in every game?
Yeah, 8 players, if, yeah, it's...
It's heartbreaking, but honestly, like, I am not going back to it, because I just want to keep the good memories. It's got a good place in my heart and in my mind. I've had a really good time, but in my mind, it's like, Bobby always says, it's that girlfriend...
That shitty girlfriend that you say you'll never talk to again, but you know, 12:01 at night, you get that text message. Hey, maybe this will be the last time, but you know,
and you go back and you regret it. You know,
I've always said
I don't want to like deleted the phone number. You know what I'm saying? I don't have the game installed even anymore on my PC.
Is that when they did the revert all the way back to preseason 3 as close as they could, it was like I literally had like a, you know, like a little tear coming down, and I was like, oh.
When they brought back the classic map and the HD classic map when they redid it, I was really surprised when they took that away again, because like my heart broke again. Like the first time they took it away,
Shitty girlfriend syndrome.
And then all of a sudden it was like a taste of fresh air. It was back again, done up, looking way better than it did before. And then all of a sudden, he was gone.
Now your girlfriend's fucking dancing with some other guy right now. So.
Yeah. But I've always said this about games. It doesn't matter a state of a game. As long as you yourself are enjoying playing that game and you're having fun, you're laughing yourself, that's all that matters. That's all that really matters. And that's kind of the way I base every game I play. If I'm playing a game and all of a sudden I find like, okay, wait a minute, 5 people who I played this game with at the start aren't playing anymore, that doesn't mean I'm going to stop. I'm still going to play a game if I enjoy it. As long as I'm having fun, even if there's 8 people, 7 people, 6 people in the lobby, I generate the fun when I go in. That's my whole concept.
They don't call him Party Boy Farley for no reason.
Oh, Lord. Oh,
it's boom, the boom, one boom. Game that I will never, ever, ever delete from my computer. It could be dead. I will have that icon on my PC forever, because it was the very first PC game I ever played. And I mean, other than that, the only other game that I had addiction to this much was probably Modern Warfare 2 on 360. But this game was so much better because there was skill-based gaming. And my favorite thing in the whole wide world, fucking proximity chat. Make proximity chat great again. Choni Ma, Farley. Choni Ma.
Toshiasabi Susailo.
China number one. What? It's that, the one game I learned that, well, Modern Warfare 2, that see, my mom.
It's my mom. It's like when you think about. So yes, just continue. Sorry.
And, you know, with H1, though, like, I don't know, man. It's you won't find anything like that anymore until, like, something else comes out. But after H1, I was like, what do I do? And then I got involved in the big black hole of Fortnite.
Yeah, we don't talk about
that's where every streamer went to. I even went to Fortnite for 3 seasons,
I think there was PUBG when the decline, so there was something there.
I have a
PUBG
clips
started before the decline already, because honestly, I can say that now. I was an alpha tester. I was under NDA, but I was one of the alpha testers for PUBG, you know. I know it had a lot of potential. But I couldn't cheat on my girlfriend H1, you know?
There was a girl named Princess Queen or something. I forget her name. Poopy Queen. Papa Bear was really cool with Poopy Queen, and she gave me access. I can talk about it now, too. I had the early alpha, too. I played that game.
That was
game
also true, her.
Yeah, and I remember that the one game I won, I the last dude who I faced off with was this guy named Dreaded Cone. And he was on Twitch a little bit. I don't know what he does now, if he's still around. But like, I remember I got that first win in PUBG, and it felt good. It felt good. The original PUBG felt really good. I don't know what happened. Like down the road, I lost
camping
interest
happened.
Myself.
Camping happened.
It does. It's too far. Like, and another thing I didn't enjoy
fucking
in that game.
Camping bitches. No offense to anybody that's big fans of camping and or.
Like, most of the original H1 players, like the diehard H1 players, were never campers. Like, no one camped, man.
You know what I mean?
That's why you recognize certain H1 players now in other games. when they bitch and they hate on campers. They just want to get out there, drive a car, mow everybody down, get a high kill game, and not even care about getting the win.
I didn't like about PUBG was one thing. You could be sitting there, or walking, minding your own business, doing your own thing. All of a sudden, bah! You're dead. You don't know where that bullet came from. 2 million miles away, you're dead. A random bullet that happened to be from a sniper that had the most perfect shot in the world. You'd just be dead. You wouldn't hear where it came from, wouldn't know what happened. You'd just be dead. And that's what I don't know. But like I said, even with that game, I would join it. Just have fun, you know what I mean? I always see people getting really aggressive when they die, saying all sorts of stupid stuff. Sometimes I'm just like, hey, GG, hey, haha, yeah, you got me. I try to do stuff like that. Sometimes I have a little rage moments, but not as crazy as some of the people out there, and a little... to say that toxicity doesn't exist in the gaming platform, I would call you liars. It is strong.
I will agree, man. There are times that I can be toxic as fuck. It's just like, I don't know. It's tough, man. I mean, I think everyone, and I think honestly, is that, and we talked about this, Blaze and I talked about this in one of the other episodes, is that, you look at the competitive players that came from competitive H1Z1 that are on the top of every sport they play because they learned shot mechanics from H1Z1. And they've been able to adjust to everything possible. And I think if there was a game that came out, that we do have our hope. Hopefully it lasts more than 3 weeks. I won't name it the game.
I know what you're talking about.
I hope that this game does it. Yep. But I think honestly that if that game is successful,
I hope it's already released by the time this podcast gets released, because I have the feeling it's gonna be postponed again. But anyway, if it gets out, my opinion is it's not gonna be successful. I'm sorry, Bobby. It's not gonna be. It's gonna be a hype, and like most games lately, it's gonna die down again. And you know why? H1 was so refreshing when it came out, because it set the bar, and there was no real game like that ever that came out before that. It's like the first Mario Kart that ever came out. You had so many other brands trying to copy that, and it was never the same. It will never be the same. Don't cry, Bobby, but I think you're gonna have a lot of fun on that game if it comes out. But honestly, my opinion is it's not gonna blow up.
The one thing I could tell you the most out of that game, the most I enjoyed, was the random interactions with people, and the fact that the map was just so huge that you had a chance to spawn somewhere, get what you wanted. You could be those type of that game had modes within one mode game where you could be that guy. You're going to rush in. You're going to go into those hot zones where everyone's landing. You're going to get a shot. You're going to do whatever. Or you could be that guy who's going to land a little bit of a distance away from people in the action. You're going to loot up. You're going to analyze. It just had different avenues and different things. Like, I would say that not all the games were the same, and that's what I liked about that game. Everything seemed a little different, and that's generally what I loved about that game.
You mad at me, Bobby?
No, I just would like to not get cut off one fucking time. That's it. I'd like to be able to finish my sentence, man. But
finish
we'll
move it.
On.
Finish
no,
it.
I don't. We're good. We're good.
I'm sorry.
No. We're moving on, man. It's all good, man. It's just I don't know, Farley. You're just one hell of a fucking dude, man. You're really.
I love it, man.
Because it's like, and I've said it, is that like I've always said it. A follows are free.
Mm-hmm.
But if you guys do have a Twitch Prime subscription available and you see Farley streaming, if you're not using it on Farley, then there's something wrong with you, He's worth it. And you got to make him sing. And make sure you guys are going and watching his YouTube video, his culmination of Farley's time on Twitch, especially the one where he's singing and he's singing with Lyndon, and Lyndon starts singing, And I'm just
I felt bad about that scenario because... the whole time he was asking me to sing with him, and like before I killed him, and I did not hear him. And if I would have heard him, that whole interaction would have been something different. I would have asked him what type of song, but it generated something fun because I think that was my first ever clip or anything on Twitch. That was it. No camera, Andy, just sitting there with the picture of Chris Farley in an animated cartoon.
You are like the voice of an angel, man. I mean, and I was like, here you are just driving around.
And, you know, I'll be honest, I'll mention names. You know, there was Bacon Me Now, and there's a gentleman in the name of Crooklyn Cat. And both of them gentlemen truly inspired me to get out there and to enjoy and to stream, because you can just have a fun time. And generally, if I didn't meet those guys in my life back when I did, I don't know if I'd be streaming. It might have been a little later in life, but I'm kind of glad I did take their advice. And it's been an enjoyable experience meeting some amazing people, you two, obviously. It's been great. It's been awesome, and I hope to continue it, you know, until as long as I can go, you know what I mean? And that's just the way I am.
No, I think the only person that ever stops any streamer from being successful or doing what they want or just like, you know, my running joke is that when I turn 65 years old, I'll retire and I'll go full-time streaming because I'll have nothing else to do. But like, what someone says to me in stream does not affect me. I've only had someone say one thing in my stream, and that's it. And what he said, my rule is this. You can make fun of me all you want. Yeah, you know what, though? I wear the pink headphones, and I've jokingly told Blaze, I was like, I think I'm going to get a new set of headphones. And I'm going to get them pink, like the HyperX ones. Because people come in and they say, hey, nice headphones. Well, you know what, though? I've created a conversation with you. Now we can talk. Yep. Is that what someone – my rule is you can make fun of me all you want. Only thing that's off limits is my family, my fiance, our kids, and our grandkids. Everything other than that, you can make fun of me all you want. Because I tell you one thing. If you make fun of me, you say some shit, and you break – and you cross the line – I'm going to fucking let you know. Yep, but and I'll be like, hey, you know, you can here, you can leave, you know, or you start attacking my friends. You know, you could be subbed to me for 29 years. And the moment you continuously attack my friends, I want you to unfollow me. I want you to subscribe to me because you know what, though? This is a drama free zone.
Yeah,
you know,
we're
here to have fun. My job is to make you laugh. That's why I love going to yours no matter what. It's like you could be in like a really shitty – you could have the worst day. And you know what, Farley streaming? All you have to do is hear that songbird sing a song to you. And you know what? You're laughing, you know?
I appreciate the kind words.
And especially if you guys – I'm serious. You guys go watch the YouTube video. The best is the one where they're like Farley falls asleep and he's wearing these like fucking sunglasses that have like blinds on them, you know? And he's like, wake up, Farley. And then he dies, and he's like, I was awake the whole time. We're like, no, you aren't, Farley. You were fucking sleeping, man.
I died a while ago.
Yeah, I died a while ago. No, you're the last one, Farley.
Hell yeah, voice.
But that's what it is, and it's like as a content creator, you know, it allows us to create that, you know, it's a connection for – you know, and I've always said that the worst thing someone could do in chat is not talk. Yep. Because, like, you know, I'm able to connect. Like, you guys are able to connect. Like, you know, Blaze, we're able to connect with that one person, you know. And it proves that we're not fucking robots. And, you know, I like that connection with somebody. I like to talk to, what's going on, you know. It's like, you know, we have somebody that comes into mind, you know. It's like, you know where they're from. Hey, how's it going, man? How's the family? You know, and it's like we're that friends, but we're on. Let's face it, it's on the internet, and especially with COVID-19 going on right now. You know, everyone's a streamer / content. They're streamers. We're content creators because we got this awesome kick-ass podcast going on right now.
Yep, And that's what it is. Like, you know, again, it's all about laughter, all about generating fun times and positivity for some people who might not have that positivity and laughter in their life. Some people might be going through some rough times. So maybe they turn to Twitch as an avenue to just get some laughs. They might be lonely. They might not have some friends. Maybe you could be their friend. You never know. Just take that time to talk to those people in your chat, because you never know. You can generally meet some very amazing people.
And, yeah, I mean, that's what it's about, man, really, you know? It's like, who would have thought that I would have a connection? Who would have thought that I'd be doing a podcast with someone that's in Belgium right now, that I have a no homo connection with, that, yeah, we're, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we're,
even though our ladies are saying we should get married right now.
Like Shana said that. She goes, when are you going to marry him? And I was like, when he puts a fucking ring on it, you know? I'm just saying.
I'll never, between me, both of you, I have never, ever done a podcast. This is the first time I've ever been involved in something like this.
And
so
I will
chalk
tell
it
you
off
right
the
now,
bucket list.
I will tell you right now, Farley, anytime you ever want to come back, you can come back whenever you want, man.
It would be an honor, guys. It would truly be an honor.
Yeah, and
you
thank you. Thank you for sharing your life story. And,
hey,
and
no problem.
You actually did something what a lot of people, you know, you had a hard start in life. I didn't even know that. We know each other so long. You totally opened up, and I was like, damn. But you made it true. You rose like a phoenix, like I always say.
Yep. You shine bright like a diamond. Is that Beyonce
like
said that? Is that Beyonce? No. Who was it that said that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Not my kind of music.
We're rock guys. Yeah. So.
Anyways, thank you for joining the podcast. Guys, if you don't follow him on Twitter yet, it's twitter.com/Farley, F-A-R-L-E-Y 1337. And it's the same for his Twitch, twitch.tv, Farley, F-A-R-L-E-Y 1337. If you ever have time or you want to, you know, get entertained, just go and drop him a follow. Say hi in his chat from the Fragging and Lagging podcast.
And tell him to sing.
Ask him to sing.
Bird.
He will do it with a lot of pleasure.
No
so,
problem. I got you.
And you guys, we're going to put all his social media stuff. We'll put his YouTube stuff in there just so you can see the video. It's like a 15-minute video of like someone starting from like the beginning to Twitch on, and it's worth it. And
made by Ninja Chris.
Ninja Chris. So, but yo, Farley, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. And congratulations on all your recent success outside
of
streaming in real life. Much deserved. Couldn't happen
to
a more deserving guy.
I appreciate
it,
Bobby.
It's nice to sit here and drink a beer. Drinking beers with the boys, you know.
Thank you, Yo Joaquim. Thank you, Bobby. It's been a pleasure and an honor to be part of Fragging and Lagging podcast.
You're part of the family now, man. You're a fragger and a lagger, you know.
Bucket list, podcast, check mark.
Checked off. Not any kind of podcast, the podcast.
All of you, thank you for listening to us and being part of it and supporting the podcast, you know.
Before we go any further, you guys, we haven't really been promoting this, but we need to. If you guys go to our Anchor site, there's a little box that you can click, and it says message. You can actually record your own voice message and leave it for it. And guess what? If it's not anything bad, we'll make sure we put it on the next episode. Because we already had one of our listeners, Ridley, leave a message, and we put it in our podcast. It's coming up soon. So you guys do that. Leave a voice message. Just tell us what you think about it. Who would you guys like to have on the podcast? And Blaze, he's our booking agent. You know, he's got to do a lot of laundry. He's got to fold. He's got to do a lot of lawn mowings for all the people that he's booked. So,
it's a star-studded cast coming.
I've just been working on Jeff Throw. I'm not gonna lie, I've been working on Jeff Throw, and he's got everybody else.
It was an honor
Jeff's moving. The guy I book is moving.
Oh.
I try to.
That's why we didn't record him yet.
That's why we did, but we're going to.
You will.
So, but thank you very much for each and every one of you guys and gals that have listened to the podcast. You guys, make sure you're following the podcast. Give us a rating, and if it's not 5 stars, then you know what? Something's wrong with you. You need to be Rochambeau'd. You know, But for me, Bobby, and
Blaze,
and
Farley.
Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. And keep in mind, if you guys are out there gaming, if you ain't fragging,
you're probably lagging.
Mom, get the camera. I gotta kill, Mom. I gotta kill. Oh yeah, baby. Oh, Mommy, I gotta kill. Finally, after 250 games sitting in a corner, I'm dying to the gas.